I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. Second half of the 1 o'clock hour is underway. 1:37 is the time. I have a long list here in front of me of wonderful suggestions, and I'm kind of going through one by one, looking at the direct. So I'm sorry. Let me back up. I'm hitting the road later this afternoon. I'm going to start my eastward trek as I start my new job in Washington D.C. next week, and I'm a big. Well, I have this year returned to being a big reader. I took a break there when old Aunt Rhoda came to town. For some reason, she doesn't have it in me. But I've been reading a lot, and I want to get through this road trip of mine, filling that time with audiobooks. I have a few that I'm going to read. Michael Lee's written a couple. The senator has written a few books I'll probably listen to on the way out. And I wanted to... Interspersed in there some others, and I need some suggestions. And you were very gracious to send in via text message and a few phone calls some really great suggestions. The authors I enjoy, so this is more general, David Baldacci, Lee Childs, James Patterson. I have read books from all three of those authors. I remember years and years ago, the first James Patterson book I read was Along Came a Spider. That's not true. It was one of the first times that I read a book and then saw the movie and like went through detail by detail deciding if they did a good job or not. And ultimately, that was the first time I entered the club, the very hoity-toity club of and snooty. The book was much better. I far preferred the book to the movie. That's almost always the case, right? The book's better. One glaring exception, though. You ever read Winston Groom's Forrest Gump? Yeah, go back. Yeah, it was a book first. Did you know that? Yeah. Forrest Gump, my favorite movie, was a novel first from a number of years earlier. Give it a read. It's quick, it's short, but it is also absurd. One of the very few instances where the movie is remarkably better than the book. Anyway, listen, I'm off topic. The list is wonderful. It's great, and I look forward to combing through here. Also, someone points out to me that that of course General Conference is airing this weekend, so we'll have to dip into that. Available right here on KSL. All sessions will be available here on KSL News Radio this weekend, and in between, there's wonderful programming. Names and voices you recognize, talking about themes and topics that you don't always hear. And you will be able to hear them here in between the sessions of General Conference this coming weekend right here on KSL News Radio. I got a couple minutes here before we go to break, and I want to talk about a poll which was conducted by Scott Rasmussen. And in that poll... conducted by Rasmussen, commissioned by the Deseret News in conjunction with the Hinckley Institute, and it looked at, here in the state of Utah, some of the attitudes regarding gun control measures. And if I'm honest, I am a bit surprised at some of these results. What I'd invite you to do is make your way to Deseret.com. This article written by the great Dennis Romboy, published last night about 10 o'clock. The headline reads, "Poll shows gun control measures Utahns favor and don't favor in light of mass shootings. So the big question is asked of about 1,000 Utahns, registered voters specifically, contacted by Scott Rasmussen between March 26th and March 31st. You don't need to know that, but it was recent. The question he asked was, quote, in light of recent mass shootings, which of the following would you support? In light of recent mass shootings, which of the following would you support? I'll be honest. I may not have included, you know, I'm no professional pollster or anything like that, but the idea hopefully is to get to like the true feelings of folks. And so why do you mention, you know, anything happening in the community? Why not just ask which of the following you support? Anyway, I'll set that aside. And Scott Rasmussen supporters are probably listening to me right now saying, hey, Leap, he's a pro, back off. Anyway, the question again, in light of recent mass shootings, which of the following would you support? 65% of respondents, again, this is 1,000 registered voters here in Utah, 65% indicated support for a requirement for universal background checks. 34% responded favorably to a ban on assault-style weapons. Assault-style weapons, I presume that's a reference to like AR-15 style. Those are like semi-automatic rifles with pistol grips and detachable magazines and maybe some kind of special optic or stock that moves around. Anyway, moving on, another question. Stricter permitting processes for carrying a concealed weapon. 29% of Utahns support that. And then 11% expressing they don't support any gun control measures. A ban on the certain types of weapons, 34%, and stricter permitting processes for carrying a concealed weapon, 29%. That's the minority in both of those instances. The surprising response and data coming from this, for me at least, is the 65% supporting a requirement for universal background checks. Real quick summary of what that means. We've talked about this as legislation has been presented here in Utah on the state level, as well as a pair of bills which passed the House of Representatives back in Washington a few weeks back, though likely not to go anywhere in the Senate. The failed efforts here and the stalled efforts in Washington essentially go after the same thing, and it's the private transactions. If you go online and there's the UtahGunExchange.com. If you encounter someone who is selling something or is looking to buy something and you have that certain something, you can make that connection. And I've done this a number of times myself. And you end up making some type of arrangement, some kind of terms. There's a price agreed upon. And you got to meet up to exchange the payment for the goods. And here in the state of Utah and in many places around the country, sales like that, private sales between private individuals of firearms, are without restriction and do not require I shouldn't say they're without restriction. You got to be otherwise, legally able to have a firearm. But what those private sales, what makes them different from, say, going into a gun shop and purchasing something is a transaction between private individuals doesn't require a background check. Now, I always feel compelled to point out that if you are like me and you scour through like FBI crime stats and CDC information, you'd be hard pressed to find any kind of trend of violence or trend of crime stemming from transactions of this type. And yet it is still that that many are supportive of it. It is, at least in Washington, it is a very important Democrat initiative. Here in the state of Utah, it's prominent Democrat Representative Brian King, who repeatedly pushes this effort. And according to this survey, when asked in light of recent mass shootings, which of the following would you support? 65% of those respondents, again, 1,000 registered voters, support a requirement for universal background checks. What do you think? 575-00. That's the Utah Community Credit Union text line. I would be anxious to know what you feel. 575-00. Again, the Utah Community Credit Union text line. That's that. And if you're sitting here next to me and you're looking at the text messages, you see the first three come back, all of them similar, saying, "Hey, would universal background checks have stopped mass shootings?" And I have yet to find data on a shooting like this where you know the weapon used came about via private transaction. I just haven't found one. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. I am always open to being corrected. 575-00, the Utah Community Credit Union text line. We're going to take a break right now. When we return, we'll be joined by KSL television reporter Garna Mejia. She has been, for the past stretch here, following the tragic case surrounding the death of a Kearns woman, Nicole Solorio Romero. We have learned some updates today, additional charges filed against suspects, as well as the location of her body. Updates coming from Garna Mejia next on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.